I'm Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Lauren from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
A podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts
at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth 2's favorite newspaper, the Starling Tribune. I am your chief editor, way better than Cat Grant. My name is Stargate Pioneer. Everybody calls me SP, and your other reporters, award-winning reporters, for this episode number 154 of the Starling Tribune are Chris.
You and me, kid, like old times.
Way to go, kid. And Michelle.
Look at me again like that, and I'll feed you your eyes.
Way to go, Nyssa. Glad to see her back on the show. This podcast is recorded Thursday, May 25th, 2017, live on geeks.live. Remember, our newspaper here in Starling City is full of spoilers, facts, and speculations about the CW TV show Arrow and the rest of the DC TV movie and comic universe. One of the great things about the Starling Tribune here on Earth 2 is that in addition to being famous and award-winning newspaper reporters, we all claim to be Earth 1 comic book enthusiasts. Right, Chris?
That's right. I love me some comics, even though I haven't picked up any new titles in like a month and a half, but I'm reading a lot of old stuff.
That's good. I am also reading old stuff, but I have picked up new stuff every week as well. So my backlog is growing, but I'm going to get into this weekend. And Michelle, you also like the comics.
Dudes, Rebirth is 1 year old.
Wow. Amazing. Are there still new titles coming out? I think there are, right? A couple new Rebirth titles still?
I don't know about that, but it's like, it's 1 year. Wow.
It's been a fun ride so far.
Yep.
And I'm just getting caught up to all this stuff. I just got caught up to Blue Beetle, by the way, and that was an interesting read up to the point. Sure, I'm going to keep it. We'll see what happens. I'm at a pivotal point in the book.
Well, guys, tonight we're going to be discussing this week's episode of Arrow, the season finale, as well as news, interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the last week that could impact future episodes of Arrow, as well as The Flash, Supergirl, Legends Tomorrow, Vixen, Constantine, Black Lightning, and maybe Smallville, just because.
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. If you like our content, why don't you swing by our podcast network home at GunnaGeek.com, where you can find all of our past shows, plus a ton of other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles, all under the Gunna Geek Productions banner.
Woohoo! Glad to get the preliminaries done with. Let's slip right into the season 5 finale episode of Arrow. Michelle, break it down for us.
Yes, season 5, episode 23. Episode's called Lee and You. It aired Wednesday, May 24, 2017. Director Jess Warren has a lot of credits. 6 Arrow, 8 The Originals, 1 Riverdale, 4 The Flash, 1 Supergirl, 2 The Shannara Chronicles, 4 The Vampire Diaries, 8 Spartacus, War of the Damned, and 1 Spartacus, Gods of the Arena.
Lot of action credits there for the Jesse.
And writers, the big guns, Wendy Miracle, the showrunner, has also written 21 episodes of Arrow, and Mark Guggenheim, executive producer, has written 14 Arrow and 8 Legends, so.
Kind of fitting with Leon Yu to have Mark Guggenheim at the helm for the writing of this episode. So good on you. We'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But first, we're going to get into the week in DC shows on the CW. First, we had Supergirl Monday, the 22nd, with the episode, also the season finale, Nevertheless, She Persisted. It was up against The Voice, Dancing with the Stars, and Gotham. It received a wonderful live rating of 2.12, which I think actually is pretty good considering the CW ratings. Over on Tuesday, with The Flash, May 23rd, 2017, the season finale of The Flash, called Finish Line, finished up with a live viewership of 3.04. Anytime a CW show gets over 2 and gets into the 3 realm, it's a success in my book. And then Wednesday, Arrow, with the episode Leon Yu, the one that we've waited 5 years to get back to, with against other TV shows like Survivor and Dirty Dancing, ended up in the ratings last place. Yes, you heard me correctly. Last place with a live viewing of 1.72. It's a little bit better than recent weeks, but guys, this is Leon Yu. This is Manu Bennett. This takes us back to episode 1. Ouch.
Yeah, I know. I was hoping it would get, like, its season high was 1.94. So I was kind of hoping it would get up there because it's the finale, and you're right, it's Leon Yu and stuff, but ow.
So one of the things I keep wondering specifically about Arrow is what the consumption looks like using the app and things like that, because we've mentioned before, the app is the great unknown for these things. Is there a lot of people that go and watch it 2 or 3 days later? Is Arrow heavily DVR'd or something like that? I don't know.
It could be just because it's the foundation brick of the DC comic book TV universe on the CW. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's because they have all this great backstory and characters where they can bring back and forth. And as you said, monetize later on the app. Now, Michelle, a little birdie told me that you had to go to the app to watch the episode because of, you know, some weather alerts or something like that. Let me ask you this, though. Are the commercials longer on the app?
No. I was able to get through the episode in actually less time than if I had watched it live. So there are commercials, but it's not as bad.
It took me roughly 55, 57 minutes. So it's less than an hour, but not by much. And it just seemed to me a couple of times that the commercials were going on and on forever. But maybe that's just because I'm used to pressing the fast forward button and getting through the commercials. I don't know.
The commercials are a bit more annoying on the app because they're not as well targeted. So you might get the same commercial 6 times throughout the entire show. And you're going, I don't care about insert product name here that I can't think of and don't want to inadvertently plug.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and do it because it's annoying. The iPhone 7.
Are they paying us to do this?
No, they're not. This is an unsolicited thing. This is me ranting about the commercial. So the iPhone 7 portrait mode. I'm sorry. I've seen that commercial way too much. I don't want to see it again.
Oh, God. Yes. Did you get the Samsung one?
Yeah, the 8?
Yeah, with like the llama.
Yes, I've got that one. And the Subaru commercial. I love Subarus. I really do. I think they're great cars. Matter of fact, I know a few people that own them, and I would like to own one as well.
This guy owns one. Subaru, pay me.
I hate the marketing that they're doing because it's all about keeping your kids safe, and they last forever, so you keep them as your family grows, so you can give them to your kids when they turn 16, so they can go out and wreck them, and then you feel fine that they're safe afterward. Come on. No, I don't want to see that. Yes, that might be a reason why I buy a car, but I don't want to see it advertised that way. Just saying. Just a little bit of SP annoyance there. SP has a lot of rants this week.
Okay, you ranted, but you know what? These commercials, annoying as they might be, keep the app free and allow us to watch Arrow multiple times before they have to podcast.
Fair enough. And the fact that you can watch them, like if your broadcast gets interrupted by politics or weather or some sort of breaking news, you can always go back to the app and see the full episode. Yes. So thank you very much, CW, for making this available. And the whole reason we got on this, though, was ratings. So we wonder what the app ratings are. I'd be curious about that, too, Chris. We're going to maybe hack into CW and find out what's going on. Maybe give them a WannaCry virus and hold our files hostage and see if they'll just tell us ratings instead of paying us. I don't know.
Please note, the theories that Stargate Pioneer throws out on the internet are not indicative of the management of the Starling Tribune newspaper. Please do not sue us. Please do not take them as the gospel truth. And please, please, please do not sue us. Thank you.
What Chris said.
All right. So that was the ratings for the week. As always, we talk about the theme of the episode, and it's usually based on the title. The title of this episode was Leon Yu. Like I said, we've waited 5 years to get back here. This is the moment where the series, where the DC universe took off, and it was Oliver Queen running through the woods, getting to the shoreline to light the signal explosion, not really a fire, but explosion, to get the boat's attention. We saw what we saw in scene one. We finally see it 5 years later, and we know what happens right beforehand. Leon Yu, it means purgatory. Michelle, what's the theme of the episode, and did it live up to the title?
Well, it's the title of the island. It's the name of the island that we've come to sort of get to know and realize season after season that it's bigger and bigger. And even on this week's episode, it used to be a holy place. And oh, look, there's some sort of temple over there that we haven't seen in 5 years. We see the crash from the airplane and stuff. But oh, look, there's a temple.
Can we call it the Temple of Doom? Or is Lucasfilm going to sue us if we do?
So go back to season two when Slade and Oliver are hiding out in the wrecked plane. And they're freezing and they're just trying to get by and live. They're right next to the temple. Can they not go into the temple for a little warmth? Maybe make a little house there or something? I mean, come on.
I know the answer.
Yeah.
The temple didn't exist until Barry did Flashpoint and screwed everything up.
Damn it, Barry.
That's your ultimate excuse. Barry screwed up time. Way to go, Barry.
We'll talk a little bit more about Barry and Flashpoint next week. There's a little tease for you. We're not going to go into it right now.
Barry's a dumbass. Excuse me.
So be prepared for that next week. Michelle?
Well, it's purgatory. Purgatory is sort of like this holding pattern. And the way this episode ends
leaves us in a holding pattern.
Yes. So let's not talk about the end yet. So that's what I think, like, the plot and stuff goes with the title.
Okay. Chris, any seconds?
No, I think we've got it pretty much right there.
Way to go, Michelle. Hitting it out of the park the first time. The next thing we discuss after the title and theme is the fights, the choreography, the stunts. We had cages. We had daughter v. daughter. We had great fight scenes. We had fight scenes in between flashbacks and what's going on in real time. This had a lot of action to it. Were you satisfied with the action, Michelle?
Yes. You asked me a yes or no question.
I did. Chris, were you satisfied with the action?
For the most part. And there's some stuff I'm sure we'll get to in one of the later fights where I was looking at it, I was going, No, this doesn't make sense. No.
Yeah, I think the choreography, the stunt work has not been the same since season one, season two. And it took me out of it a couple of times. And then I had to just shake my head and go, wait a minute, this is a show on the CW. They're doing the best they can. I'm just going to reimagine it, make it so that I can actually think it's real, basically, or think it's the actors doing it. They do such a terrible job of hiding the stuntmen now compared to what they did in season one and season two that, yeah, I have to do that in order to keep going. Maybe that's one of the reasons why the show slipped in the ratings. I don't know.
It's tougher to hide the stuntmen right now when no one's wearing a mask in any of these fights, really, besides your random ninjas. I mean, Oliver's not wearing his mask. Actually, Slade wore his, but if you go and think about it, Diggle doesn't have one. None of the other side characters do because they don't have their uniforms there. So it's a lot tougher and you have to be a little more creative. You can get away with more when you're filming them in costume because you're getting rid of pieces of the face so that it's not as noticeable.
There were two instances where I was looking at Diggle and where I was looking at Renee, and it was obvious stuntmen that were made up to look extremely like those two characters, but it was still stuntman. And most of the scene was shot from the side or the back, but there was two instances when they looked at the camera, I was going, that is not Renee. That is not Diggle. So again, I had to just go shake my head and go, okay, well, I'm getting a lot of great action here as well. So Michelle, you did like it though. So why did you like it? What stood out to you?
The two fights that I enjoyed the most were basically Canary versus Canary and Al Ghul versus Al Ghul. I think those were the best two fights. I don't know what you guys thought.
I liked Slade wrecking ninja face.
I thought the canary versus canary fight was the best fight in the entire episode. And that gets back to the masks and everything. I literally think that fight was mostly done by those actors versus stunt people. And maybe that's why it stood out to me. And it stood out to me like I was really invested in those characters, and it really shone out to me. The other fight, the Al-Ghul daughter fight, it was obvious. Hair was flowing in their face most of the time. I mean, they did a decent job trying to hide it. And the action with the stunt people were really good. I didn't like the quick flash, the quick camera cuts in that fight. I thought a couple of times it was a little too quick. But then I just have to remind myself, look at all the characters in this episode. Look at all the action in this episode. They have a finite amount of time to film these episodes. So when you consider that, they did a pretty good job. So I'm not going to totally destroy them, but all I'm saying is I expected a little bit more from Arrow, and I got just a little bit less than I wanted.
So the big fight in the temples where I had just a little bit of heartburn. I mean, it was cool. Some moments you got Slade coming in, like I said, and wrecking all the ninjas. But then you've got Diggle that's just punching a bunch of ninjas with swords. Just running around. He's like, punch, punch. Your sword won't get me. And Renee is doing the same thing. I'm like, A, why aren't you guys using a sword from someone you down? And B, dude, these guys have swords. How are you not getting caught up? You're just punching them.
In my notes, I went, Talia's ninjas have no talent. So maybe she either didn't recruit very well, or maybe she can't teach groups very well. I mean, she taught Prometheus how to fight, okay? But maybe it's all on her.
I don't know.
And then there's also that ninja rule. The more ninjas you have.
The League of Assassins hasn't been around for a while. So while they've been killing all these ninjas, there's been no training ground for them to recap their losses. So it's a little bit like the Japanese aviators in World War II, where they had phenomenal world-class aviators. They're fighter pilots in World War II at the beginning before they bombed Pearl Harbor. They were the best in the world. And unfortunately, they just didn't have the training program. They didn't have the manpower to recap their losses when they went to Midway and lost 3 out of their 4 carriers. So there was just no way to recap those losses. And that's what gave us the aerial superiority as we went throughout the rest of World War II. I think the same thing is happening here with ninjas. The League of Assassins training program simply ain't there. And Talia, as you mentioned, can't just do it herself. So there you go.
She had to dedicate all of her time to Prometheus to make sure he could hand all over his butt. That's why these other ninjas, not very well trained. She didn't have time for that.
We need to talk about Chase here a little bit. That guy is the smugness that is always on his face just makes me want to kill him every time he's there.
Problem solved.
I know, but well, you know, it's Arrow, so you never know what kind of Lazarus pit is on board that boat.
No, he's dead.
Hopefully.
He is so dead.
It got a little bit old. It did a little bit, but you were still reminded of what a whack job and how effective he really was. Think of all the time it takes to plant all those explosives across an entire island with a magic submarine in it.
He's got a bunch of ninjas to help him.
Yeah, and Artemis. That's what Artemis has been doing all this time. He gave her like this little like shovel and little gardening kit from one of those, you know, gardening stores or whatever. And he was just like, here. And she's like, okay. And so she's digging little holes and she's planting them. And then that's what she's been up to, because we've had no clue about what she's been doing all this time. Now we know she's been gardening.
Gardening C4. Well, it's what all the cool kids do now.
Where did he get all this money, though?
Talia, she stole it.
His dad's a crime boss. He probably embezzled a bunch of it to God knows where.
Yeah, but his dad didn't, like, he was illegitimate. Like, his dad didn't leave him anything.
I blame Barry. Damn it, Barry.
Okay, we're going to talk about Chase right now. Do you want to get into it?
Let's get into it.
Okay, first off, okay, like, where did he get all this money? I guess, because it's like, well, how much of this was his plan? Because you have to realize, he started alone. He did his homework. He found Talia. Okay. And then he starts off alone. So was he counting on getting Artemis, and was he counting on being able to get all this help to do all the gardening? Because he kept saying, I'm 10 steps ahead. I'm 10 steps ahead. So was this all because his daddy died and he decided to do this very elaborate thing to eventually get back to this island? And because if he's making Oliver choose and say everybody around you is going to die, was William always part of the plan then? Because now that last scene where he says, now you got to pick, is it William or is it everybody else? And it's like, well, because last time he said, oh, I brought in William because you made me kill my wife. But now the way that last scene played out, was William always on the table?
It could have been Thea. It could have been Felicity. It could have been anybody else who Prometheus Chase perceived to be of that value to make him either make that choice or turn and become the person, the individual, the villain that Chase wanted it to be. And then he found William and he's like, okay, this is it. So I don't think, this is just my speculation, I don't think when he started this, he knew about William, but once he learned about William, that was the obvious go.
Pretty much. William was convenient. He could have used anyone else in that spot. Probably Felicity or Thea would have been the most impactful to Oliver. But if he can get a hold of the son, that rings true for a lot of things for him.
So everything else, that's where you're drawing the line on the episode.
Oh no.
Okay.
Because this was really elaborate.
Well, it is. It's the Archfell. It's like Genesis was really elaborate. It's like The Undertaking. It was all really elaborate. And it was all complex and set up by multiple people over the course of a long time. So, yeah, that's the of what Arrow has been going through since the beginning. So let's talk about the team-ups, right? So we have the good guys and the bad guys. So the bad guys, they have Artemis, they have the Black Siren, and they've got Prometheus, and they've got Talia al Ghul. That's their core, right?
Right.
All right.
Yes.
And then they get Boomerang.
Right. Who I forgot was in the Argus. Like, I knew Slade was in the Argus prison, but I forgot about Boomerang. I was wondering, why did Chase not even bother talking to Slade? Because Talia says they knew it was useless to approach him.
They thought he was nuts still, probably.
Yeah, it could go one of two ways. Either the Mirakuru has just worn off, like, okay, after all these years, that's how you're going to play it? Okay, we'll just go with that. And that he will be remorseful and that he will have some sort of misguided allegiance back to Oliver, or he's going to be nuts and he's going to kill you just because that will let him off the island. So one of the two, I don't know if I would take a chance on either.
Yeah, if I was Chase, I would not try and take a chance with Slade. Captain Boomerang, sure, why not? Because he's less of a known quantity and he has less of a reason for Prometheus to be like, oh, you might betray me later.
Because that's one of the things I liked about that first fight when Samantha, Curtis, Felicity, and Thea are in their individual cages, which, okay, I was really disappointed in Oliver. Hey, look, let's just walk up to him. And it's like, duh, it's a trap.
Yeah, I paused, looked at the girlfriend, I went, trap, and she goes, oh yeah, trap.
Duh.
Yeah, because then, you know, Boomerang does the whole, and then Slade is like, oh yeah, yeah, point a gun to his head. It's like, oh, no.
And see, that Slade tease there ruined the twist later in the episode. Like, oh, Slade betrayed Oliver. I was like, no, it's just the same thing again.
Yeah.
Or I'm cynical, one of the two.
So when I saw Slade actually give him up, I was like, I don't know if this is fully going to be where it is. But okay, here's the Slade Wilson that we've come to know and love. And here it comes, the betrayal and everything. Not thinking it was the only reason. Really? This is the only way you're going to get Black Canary, her sonic device? This, okay, I guess. Because plot. Yes, Neil, I gotcha. Because plot.
I did like how Oliver, in that first fight, just flipped Artemis over his shoulder.
She deserved it.
Boom, little girl.
No. And then threw her in the cage. How do you know this is not where he wants me? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You might want to let me out. Huh, huh, huh. Whatever.
I don't understand why she drank the Kool-Aid that deep when it came to Chase. Because she turned on Oliver because he's a killer. And then she signed up for another killer.
Oh, but it's okay because you're getting back at the first killer who killed her parents.
My brain hurts now.
Okay.
Anna Hopkins comes back as Samantha. Best actor ever. I want to see more of her. I hope she survives and that we get a little tension going on in the Oliver Queen love life, family life, whatever. Anna Hopkins is an amazing, talented actor. First ran into her on Defiance season 2 and just wish the best for her. Reached out to her, told her it was great to see her on the show again. Of course, she can't give any indication if she's coming back for the season, next season, season premiere. I didn't even ask. It was just like, it was great to see you. So I just want to point that out. Anna Hopkins, it was great to see her back on the show. Never got reunited with William, though. And that is something that I would like to see. Her with her tween, I guess, son.
Good luck. She's going to die. Season 6 is going to be Oliver the single dad.
Oh, God.
He and Renee are going to commiserate over their single dadhood.
Oh, so Renee's going to win. He's going to live.
Well, yeah, we know that. They already announced that Renee was going to be on next season and signed a contract for a full season.
It could be flashbacks.
Oh.
Possible. Unlikely.
Once you're on the show, you can come back years later. Moira! Moira was back!
That was a good scene, but you also have to remember now we have the time travel MacGuffin that can come into play for everything. So while Malcolm Merlyn might be dead in the present, and I'm not sure I believe he is, because remember, his nickname's the damn magician. Let's be honest here.
He's not dead. I never saw the body. I saw Kovar's body. I did not see Malcolm's body. He is not dead.
And John Barrowman did make a point of going online and saying, I'm not under contract for anything, but that doesn't preclude a couple guest appearances potentially happening on any of these shows. I don't believe Malcolm is dead. And even if he is, you have the time travel MacGuffin, which basically says, we're going to get the Malcolm from 3 years ago and have him come help us. Just like they did with Captain Cold in Flash.
I think that was one of the best moves they made all year with Captain Cold.
That's because Wentworth Miller is the man.
Yes. So, Michelle, where do you want to go next? You're steering the ship here.
Well, since you brought up Malcolm Merlyn, so after they get freed from the cages, Oliver's like, can you find the plane? Which, okay, I have an issue with that, but let's stick with Thea. And they're walking along in the woods, and Thea steps on, I guess, the only landmine on Lian Yu.
Lian Yu is full of this, of landmines and explosives.
The only person who stepped on one the entire time.
Yes, they're all walking. Oliver has been running around that island. Slay's been running around that island. We had the magic, the dude who was obsessed with the magic stuff. Everybody's been running, and then they're just casually walking, and all of a sudden, Thea steps on a landmine.
They went through this whole thing with the Russian plot on the island. Was last season? I think it was last season, right? They went through this. There are landmines on the island. I will believe that 100%. I'm good.
None of us dispute that, but there's more than just one conveniently placed one that gets triggered in this entire thing.
That depends on how many bad guys Oliver has had to dupe over the 5 years on the island.
And she was like in the back of the group, okay? Curtis and Felicity were walking ahead, and then Thea, it's just...
That's what you get.
It's just, I understand Malcolm sacrificing himself for Thea and stuff, but it was like, I stepped on a landmine. Oh no, my dad shows me out of the way and they have kind of like a goodbye. I mean, do you know what I mean? It was just like all of a sudden, click, landmine. It was just kind of, since it never really been a thing. You know what I mean?
It's been a thing from time to time, but okay, the improbability of it happening, sure, because plot. And as we stated, Malcolm is not dead. Might have lost a foot, might have lost a leg. He might have put his hand over it. I don't know. You lose a mechanical hand.
Here's your landmine loophole. They had to dig some up to put C4 in the ground that no one could see.
There you go.
Oh no, I just touched a landmine. Let me be random goon X and blow it up so we can put C4 there. I don't know.
X. Henchman 23.
Blue Nissan Stanza.
Venture Brothers quote right there for you. The flashbacks. Let's go with flashbacks. I mentioned Kovar and Kovar's dead body. We saw Kovar's dead body on the island. There was a pan to it in the real time. And then you go back to the scene where Oliver is going to kill him. I kind of suspected that was Kovar, but didn't know for sure until it actually happened. And he was laying on the ground just like the skeleton.
Until I saw the leather jacket. Then I was like, oh, that's totally Kovar.
You didn't get your I will break you scene, though. I'm so sorry, Chris.
I didn't expect I was going to get it, but I really wanted it.
Yeah, he got taken care of. I guess it's Oliver's season five move because he started the season using that whole neck breaking move and then he killed Kovar like that. I mean, and another dude. So I guess that's his go-to move for a while.
And then he forgets about it for 5 years.
So let's talk about Oliver's mindset as he's being rescued and the fact that he's a killer and he has to go through that. Did this specific episode, not necessarily the wrap up in Russia, but did this specific episode set up that Oliver Queen that we saw 5 years ago? Chris, what do you think? You were here from the beginning.
Yes, I would say it did because you start to see him slipping into that mindset again when he calls his mother. And you even hear Stephen Amell slip back into the pre-island Oliver Queen voice when he does it too, where he has almost the Luke Skywalker whiny tone of voice like you have from Luke in the beginning of A New Hope. So Oliver's putting that mask back on. So yes, I think it did what it was supposed to in that regard. And the Moira appearance is what caused that to happen.
Okay, I'm just going to say it right here. If I have my choice between Moira and a Slade-Wilson plane crash, I'm going to take the Slade-Wilson plane crash. I was never a big Moira fan. So there you go. That's SP's lament of the episode. I wanted the plane crash and all I got was Moira.
I like that Moira was there. It was interesting to see like the phone call home and such.
It was kind of a punch in the chest for a second there. It's like, oh, this is one of those family moments. And remember, they've said it before, despite Moira's flaws and stuff like that, she's their mother.
Yeah, I still think she would have been better up locked behind bars for a great many years. I'm trying to remember, did we see that scene or one like it where Moira was answering the phone and says when he was in Hong Kong or something, when he called home, did he ever call home and listen to his mom? I'm trying to remember. I seem to remember a scene like that.
I thought he called Thea or something like that. I can't remember though.
I'll have to check back with a rewatch.
Listener, if you remember, let us know at Starling Tribune on Twitter.
I'm still trying to figure out if I like how the flashback tied in with the first episode. I still need a week. I know we're going to talk about it next week. I still need to digest that part of it.
I think they did what they could based off of how they kind of written themselves into a corner with Oliver's 5 years in hell, but not all on the island that we ended up finding out.
They How I Met Your Mother'd it.
This was better than How I Met Your Mother's ending.
Yeah, but it's still, they did it. They wrote themselves into a corner and they had to just wave their hands and write themselves out of it. The advantage of How I Met Your Mother is that literally was the last episode of the entire series, so that the outrage of everybody didn't persist into the next season, the next episode. There's going to be some of that. At least it's the end of the season, but come on. They missed the boat a little bit throughout the 5 years, and I don't blame them, but they did. So if I went back to episode one right now, I'd definitely see some holes in what happened.
Yes, definite holes.
So what I'm sensing here is that we all appreciated the episode, but we all found fault with the episode. Am I correct with that, Michelle?
Yeah. You know, like I said, I like the fight between the two women, the two canaries, especially like when they did their cries at the same time and how it knocked them out, and then how Lance knocks out his, well, not his daughter, but Laurel, and then the sisters confronting each other. And then there was a great piece of like direction and editing, like when he's fighting Chase, it cuts back to when he was fighting Kovar, and then like they even has the same moves, like the same chokehold and stuff. And then in the flashback, he kills Kovar, but in the present, he, you know, he doesn't kill Chase. And then when he's running to the boat for Chase, it's cut with his run to the fire and stuff. Like there were some really good moments like that. It's just like as an episode, it was really cool. But then when you start to like think about how it ties into everything else, like how the flashback ties into season one or how the whole Prometheus thing ran the entire season. I know the other things were very elaborate. The Undertaking was elaborate because they wanted to take down an entire section of the city. And so that really took time and money. And like they actually talked about how they were funding it and how they needed to develop certain things. And Slade's was very personal and he wanted to take the company. And then, but Chase was just very, I don't know. I think for me, it went on a little too long when we found out who Prometheus was. And then like this episode, for me, it was like once the revelation happened, I wanted it to like happen sooner.
See, I felt like the episode itself wrapped up too fast. To me, it felt like this should have been a two-parter or like extended, give it an extra 15 minutes or something like that, because there's so much more stuff that felt like could have been in this episode.
Yeah, because last week's episode was just them getting to the island. There was a lot of stuff in last week's episode that could have just been, you know, like they could have gotten to the island. Then you're right. They could have spread this part out.
I'll credit with one of the guys I talked to at work about this was like, they really should have pulled a Walking Dead on this. And for those that aren't aware, the Walking Dead just randomly adds in their 10 to 15 minutes to random episodes in there. And then for the season finale seems to tack on another 30 to 40 minutes on an episode runtime. I think this episode could have benefited with a little bit more time because it felt very rushed. That's not to say it was bad. There was a frantic pace for everything that went through here. And as a viewer, it leaves you on the edge of your seat and you're sitting like, oh my God, what's going to happen next? They've already done all this stuff. But I think there could have been more to it, or they could have slowed down in a couple of places to make it a little more impactful. I'm not complaining. It's just, I would have done it slightly differently. And this is from someone who does not work in TV, who just talks about this show on the internet for fun.
It had all the elements of Arrow. You had the dual scenes of the flashback and the reel. You had the multi-team fight. You had the family aspect with Moira. I'll admit that it was something earlier on in the show that was very important. But you also had William in there and Thea with her father as well. It didn't strike me as being well executed. It wasn't bad episode by any means. I don't take this as we're ragging on. We critique these episodes. It's what we've done. That's what we've done for 4 years, 5 years. So we've been through this once or twice, but it just didn't strike me as a season finale worthy of the best comic book DC TV show on right now. So I don't know.
I think maybe it's the ending.
Yeah, I was just going to say, let's get to the ending because that left a lot to be desired for me. First of all, come on, you're not going to kill the entire cast. You've got another season. You've been renewed. You're going to need a lot of the cast back. Sure, you might lose a character or two, but you're not going to lose all of them. So come on, don't try to pull the wool over my eyes, CW. That's just not going to happen. Chris, what do you think?
Like I said earlier, they're not going to kill everyone. This is a way they can kill off a few people and add some random dramatic tension. I honestly do think William's mom is a goner, and one of the things you're going to see next season. I know that bothers you, SP, but I honestly think what they're going to set up now is Oliver's got to take care of his estranged son, who's never really met him, whose first experience with him is seeing a guy blow his brains out in front of him. It's going to be very tough, and I think they're going to add that as another dynamic in there to be like, oh, this also makes the Felicity angle even more complex and things like that. I've got to be the mayor. I've got to be the Green Arrow. I've got to be a dad. I think that's what's going to happen. So I wouldn't be shocked if she gets killed off. I wouldn't be shocked to see Artemis die because she's locked in a cage somewhere. Now, the rest of the core team, I think you'll see some people get beat up pretty good. But what we'll probably end up finding out is that Slade found some little hidey hole for them, be it in the prison complex or something like that, maybe.
I had a random thought because I was talking with Steven back and forth, and I actually put this in the note. We haven't seen Ragman in like forever, and like, what if he came by and all of a sudden he was there and he just wrapped everybody up?
That is a neat thought. I don't know if the regs are big enough to protect all of them. Maybe that would explain by some die. I tended to think that Slade was going to take him down into the prison complex and that's how they were going to survive. Although with that many explosives going off simultaneously over the island, I was worried about the structural integrity of the prison down below and that they might be trapped down there. So all very plausible. There are ways for people to actually survive this. My point was, I can't believe that CW was trying to pull the wool over our eyes and like, oh no, the entire team is dead. No, it's not. So Chris, I just want to respond to one thing, the whole Anna Hopkins is dead, which still might happen. I'll grant you that. I hope that Samantha comes back. Anna Hopkins is the actor. Samantha is the character's name. I really hope she comes back because I like her. However, that scene where Felicity kissed Oliver, that was like a goodbye kiss to me. I wouldn't be surprised if Felicity is dead at the end of this whole thing.
Okay. So here's the thing. One, I can't believe Oliver didn't send everybody to the Argus supply ship, which was mentioned at the beginning of the episode. And then on the boat, he's like, hey, why don't you send them to the ship that I probably should have sent everybody because Chase had nothing to do with it. And you probably didn't know about it. So, okay, there's step one. And you know how Chris has been like hashtag no Laurel, no Arrow?
I know exactly where you're going right now.
Yeah.
What do they got to lose? The ratings are tanking anyway.
Literally, all the rest. Look, I've been talking about the ratings with some other people. And if you notice, it's with Supernatural. Supernatural has a core amount of fans. They're not really bringing in anybody new. And they're not really losing anybody. And some people actually think the same way with Arrow, that there is a core team of us not really bringing in anybody new. Not really losing anybody because the core part of Arrow, what a lot of people on the internet, they call OTA, Original Team Arrow, is still there. And the Original Team Arrow, the Trinity, Ollie, Felicity, Diggle. And if one of them go, it really will hurt the show. The showrunners could say, oh, character growth, blah, 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 blah. But look, I know characters die. Like, duh. But it's to kill Felicity. That will really drive off. Come on, let's face it. Arrow doesn't have a lot of, you know, there's a core of us, all right? A million of us, 1.3 million of us watch it live every single week. I live tweet this. I look at the hashtag. I see what people say. And a chunk of them are like, they really appreciate OTA. And to kill, especially Felicity, and to risk losing a good, what, third of the small fan base that you have. And I'm being conservative when I say a third. Because, like, even if they kill Diggle, they risk losing. I mean, I know we got Renee and Dinah because both of those actors, I think, have been, like, promoted to season regulars. But, yeah, I mean, that, SP, that, wow.
So guys, let's remember something. This is a show on the CW. The CW caters towards a bit more of this drama, especially relationship drama, which is part of the reason why you keep seeing the will they won't the of Felicity come into play, the various other relationships they have and these other characters have is relationship drama is a must. If you kill off Felicity, that kind of breaks that. Now, do I think it could be an interesting story to tell? Oh, hell yes. It'd be a very interesting story to tell. If they got rid of someone from Original Team Arrow. Do I think it's going to happen? No, because they can't make the fans that angry.
I think they got a season left, so it's up to them on what they decide to do with it. And as far as relationship drama, if Felicity goes, you still have Anna Hopkins, which you can bring back to be kind of, I don't know what, for the first little bit. And then Oliver grows a relationship with Dinah. I could totally see that. I'm not pushing for that, by the way, but I can just see it. So this whole kiss with Oliver and Felicity, that's what it stinks to me. I totally get what you're saying, and that's probably where it's going to go. I just wouldn't be surprised if Felicity ends up not coming back from the island.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they kill her off, make sure Slade lives, and then we get a buddy show with Oliver and Slade, because I tell you what, guys, I loved seeing that brotherhood that you had from season one and part of season two before Slade lost his marbles kind of come back into play here, because you got a rekindling of that relationship between them. They're not at each other's throats. There's a little bit of that banter. I mean, and I think Manu Bennett nailed it in the one scene when Adrian Chase basically tells Oliver, your son's dead. Look at the look on Manu Bennett's face and the look he gives Stephen Amell when he says that. I was just like, oh man, these guys, they're so good together. Let's get more of it.
Maybe next season's the dad season because Renee's going to be, you know, hopefully get his girl back. If we go through the whole single dad thing, then Oliver is a single dad. And One of the things Ollie did at the beginning of the episode was give Slade information on his son, Joseph, a.k.a. Jericho. If you're, you know, comic, it's Jericho. So maybe it's, you know, three guys and their sons, well, and daughter.
Well, and if you kill off Diggle, then you can have Lila involved with her son.
It's Single Parents Are Us.
Single Parents Are Us in season 6 of Arrow.
And you lose Quentin, because I think that would happen in that scenario.
I actually think Quentin is one of the ones, because Katie Cassidy's coming back as Black Siren. And she did actually have some affection for Lance, because that's still kind of like her dad. And we don't know what her version of her dad went through and stuff. So him dying would maybe give her a reason to stick around or something. I actually do, unfortunately, think Lance might be one of them.
She sticks around. It's just because she's forgotten everything, because her birth one dad clocked the snot out of her and gave her one heck of a concussion, beating her up to knock her out. That's why she would stick around.
I don't remember it. How's that go again?
You've got it recorded. You can play it back.
Oh, damn it.
But Thea could be dead. I mean, Willa Holland wasn't contracted for all the season, but I don't want her to die like that.
No, and you still have Talia and Nyssa. They didn't go away. They just...
If they kill Nyssa, I riot.
Yeah.
And Talia has taken a few baths in the Lazarus Pit. So I don't know if somebody who's been in the Lazarus Pit can be killed that easily. Of course, it depends on what version they go with.
I think Slade just found an old Kashmir Kuru and hopped it and hooked everyone up to that right before the island blew up. So they're all going to regenerate like Logan, crossing the streams.
Maybe. I mean, the island is magical. Maybe they eat some magical herbs and they create force fields around themselves. I don't know. There you go. Katrina Law was amazing. Lexa Doig. Is a Doig dog? I can't remember. She was great. It would have been great to have Huntress back, but she just didn't fit in the storyline. You know, Jessica DeGaulle.
See, that's another thing, because if you notice, Vigilante and everything disappeared. It's like once they got the announcement that they were getting renewed, it's like Vigilante disappeared, because they actually said that they're not going to bring Vigilante back to season 6. So that's one of the big bads for season 6 is Vigilante. And a lot of the Bertinellis were mentioned, and so that dropped off once Vigilante went away. So Huntress is either still in prison, or thanks to Barry, she's out there somehow, because Barry.
Damn it, Barry.
That's something I would thank Barry for if Helena is out of prison.
There's not one single thing I'm going to thank Barry for. We'll talk about that next week. Not one thing.
All right. So
I guess I have a thing for the former Glee actor, and it's not all good. Although I still think he would play a better Flash than in the DC cinematic universe than Ezra, but that's just my two cents. All right, Michelle, what else do you want to talk about? Because you got all these great notes. What did we not hit?
I think I basically touched on everything, because we talked about Felicity and the kiss, and we talked about how Oliver should have sent them to the Argus ship. I know I'm mentioning that again, but I watched it twice and was like, why didn't you send them to the ship?
Don't understand.
I don't get it. Because you knocked out that poor guy. The poor guard. I didn't put the guard on the list.
Oh, he's dead too. How is there only one damn guard for Argus secret prison on Leanne Yu? This guy must be in so much trouble at work. They're like, you're going on island duty for like 6 months because you're an F up.
I got to put that in there. Hold on. Argus guard.
See, I think that gives some legitimacy to the fact that they go into the prison to survive the explosions, and the Argus dude survives.
I don't know. Maybe the people on the Argus supply ship realized something was going on and they called for backup.
Maybe Sisko vibed them off the island.
Yeah, because he couldn't vibe himself out of any situations he was in last week, but that's not for this week.
We'll talk about that next week.
Oh, stupid.
But we don't know the timeline.
No, we don't. And that's another issue. The wave rider could have come. There's a lot of explanations. Like Supergirl could have used her little thing after her season finale going, oh, boo hoo. And, you use the thing to come back and talk to everybody and find yourself on Leon Yu.
Kid Flash?
You mean Flash?
We don't know for sure, right? So again, we'll talk about all this next week. So basically, a lot of crossover ideas could happen to save a lot of people too, which is very easy to do at the beginning of a season when they're not engrossed in filming, that they can say, just do a scene or two with each other and then go back to their show. So it's all highly possible. Chris, last words.
Slade Wilson needs his own TV show. Make it happen, Mark Guggenheim.
Man who bet in as Slade. Oh, that'd be awesome. Like, put him on Netflix. That'd be awesome.
Get him on Legends of Tomorrow.
Well, that would definitely raise the caliber of Legends of Tomorrow, but I think give him a show like Daredevil on Netflix. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Then there would be actual blood on his sword, because that was one of the things missing from this episode. I mean, like, he'd be like, slice, 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 clean blade. It's like, oh yeah, this is 8 p.m. CW.
It's a self-cleaning blade, that's all. It's a real special feature for 8 p.m. TV shows. They self-clean.
You clean it with some of those magic herbs before the fight, and the sword doesn't absorb any blood.
There you go.
It's like a little force field around the sword. Works great. Like a lightsaber, almost.
Happy birthday, Star Wars.
Happy birthday. Indeed. All right, guys, next week we are going to give our thoughts, as we've said before, on Supergirl, Flash, and Arrow. We'll also probably take a little bit more time to process this season finale of Arrow and see if our initial thoughts, as we just described them, hold up, or maybe you, the listener, can give us feedback and tell us why we're right or why we're wrong or what your feelings are. Maybe we didn't discuss something that you think is very important. So please get that to us. We have a Twitter account at Starling Tribune. We have a voicemail line, which is 612-888-CAVE or 612-888-2283. And you can also email me stargatepioneer@getageek.com. Can't wait for that next week. So just a little tease, Chris, which season finale are you most looking forward to talking about?
I haven't seen the Legends one yet, so I can't vote that.
Okay, Supergirl, Flash.
Supergirl, I guess. Supergirl one was good. Flash one left me kind of angry. I understand why some people are rage quitting. I'm not rage quitting, but I'm like, what?
Michelle, do you have the similar thoughts?
Supergirl was my fave. And that's one of the reasons why the whole, like, let's talk about the seasons next week is my idea, because I have thoughts about Flash. And there's a couple about Supergirl I like to talk about.
Yeah. Supergirl, all the feels. And we're going to reveal something in the news in a second about Cat Grant. So why don't we just get to that? Here we go. Straight from the news desk of the Starling Tribune, I'm the chief editor, SP, as I said at the beginning of the episode. I have a couple of great reporters here. They're going to talk about a couple of great news items. Chris, you're up next for the 4-series DC crossover next year.
This is some huge news. It's bigly important what we're going to talk about here right now, guys. Bigly important. Now, not really. It's kind of a follow-up from last week. We talked about the fact that Mark Pedowitz had talked about upfronts. They're going to do the 4-part crossover again. Well, Deadline.com got some news, said it's probably going to be around the November timeframe we get the 4-part crossover this time around. So probably right before or after Thanksgiving is my guess.
Hope it's the week before Thanksgiving. I hope it's not the week of Thanksgiving, because that would just be terrible scheduling.
There's never any TV on during that week, I don't think.
Well, no, they do Monday and Tuesday. They don't do Wednesday, though.
Well, they can't do the crossover that way then.
Nope.
That's early in the year, because this year's was... Because I remember, like, the first week of December.
It depends on when Thanksgiving falls on. So Thanksgiving is the 4th week of November. And if it falls, like, there's a whole week of November after it, then there's an additional time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So it's they go to about the 2nd week of December for airing new episodes. So it depends on if they have 2 or 3 weeks left after Thanksgiving. And honestly, I haven't taken a look at the schedule there.
Yeah, and I guess, I'm assuming that they'll premiere the shows in October like they've been doing.
That's the guess. I have not seen anything on that right now, but based off how the CW has performed before, they'll do that so that they can then take their month-long break after they come back for 2 weeks in the 2018.
It looks like there's going to be 3 weeks after Thanksgiving. Just a quick look at the schedule before they shut down for the holidays. So I actually went through this with Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. because we were discussing the schedule next year for Inhumans and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And we were talking about how many episodes of Inhumans that they have, which is 8. And then they go through an entire 22-episode series of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. starting in January. There's not going to be any stops to that. But the question of when it was going to end and when it was going to start. And the simple fact is, I looked at the schedule because we've done this for 5 years now. And there has been 8 episodes, maybe 9, but definitely 8 episodes of like Arrow, Flash, whatever, in the fall. And then they go the second half of the season starting in January. So Inhumans is going to have 8 episodes in the fall. That's all you get. You might get a 9th episode. It depends on if you start and stop around some weeks like Thanksgiving, and then you start up in January again with a few weeks off for spring break, the religious holidays that happen in the springtime. That's not going to happen with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this year. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. literally will not take a break. Now, I don't know how many weeks they're going to run because they might do dual episodes like for the premiere and the finale. But to relate it back to this, it's going to be about 8 or 9 episodes of all these shows before the holiday break.
Oh, okay. I did not know that about S.H.I.E.L.D. So, okay. I get it.
Yeah, that was breaking news this past week. So we're excited to talk about that. Anyway, Michelle, you have some great news that I teased before and we didn't start with it about Cat Grant being a season regular for season 3 of Supergirl.
Yeah, that's what we thought when Supergirl had the 2-part finale and all that great. Yeah, but Cat Grant will be in a few episodes if scheduling can work out. So that's what they said. They said this about, she was supposed to be a guest star this, and but it was like the first 2 episodes and then the last 2 episodes. And it's like, I'm sorry. One of the reasons why you got the numbers that you did, everyone knew Cat Grant was back because we love Cat Grant. So it's one of these things that, I'm sorry, Mr. Brooks, who plays Jimmy Olsen, I think his first name is
Mikad Brooks, I believe.
Yes, Mikad Brooks. You could cut him, and they just got rid of Mon-El. So take that money, and you back up the truck to Callista Flockhart, and you build a little remote studio that's a replica of her office, and then you film there, and you make us happy.
Yeah, my understanding for her is Callista Flockhart is she did not want to relocate to Vancouver. That's part of the reason she did it was she lives in LA. So that's why she didn't do it. What I would love to see them do, and I was hoping they'd do this season, is, hey guys, Skype is cheap. You could have Cat Grant on a Skype call every once in a while as she's doing her continuing vision quest around the world or whatnot, but have some kind of interaction with her, please.
The last line that Cat Grant had in this episode, entirely expected by me, but it was just great hearing her actually say it. We'll talk about that next week. And that led me to believe personally that she would be more integrated in season 3. Some of this could be posturing, by the way. Some of this could be Callista Flockhart taking a look at the ratings of Supergirl and just going, I don't know if I want to be involved in this failing project. Because in her eyes, it might be failing because she might not realize the difference between CW and CBS. But I don't necessarily think she understands the longevity that these shows may or may not have, and that she will forever be associated with the role of Cat Grant no matter what happens in her career. She will be Cat Grant, just like Princess Leia in that sort of roles with the actors and Carrie Fisher. So I don't know, maybe she will get that and come back in it, although she is married to Han Solo, Harrison Ford, so I don't know. And some of the things that she said about Rob Lowe and Star Wars in the past couple episodes, it's been kind of funny hearing it come out of her mouth because they're direct references to her either personal life or her professional life acting. Because let's not forget, she did a show with Rob Lowe for many years called Brother and Sister. So there's that. We'll see what happens. I hope it's just posturing. I hope they actually get her back for crossover events or something, because you can't drop a bomb like she did and just disappear for a year like she did now. But yeah, I don't know, maybe. All right, so that's it for the news this week. If you have some news items that you want us to discuss, please let us know. In the meantime, we are part of this great geeky network called GunnaGeek.com, which we are streaming live, by the way, on the live page at GunnaGeek.com/live, also known as Geeks.live. And there are a bunch of other podcasts. We just added a few recently. But Chris, what do you got this week? What do you want to highlight to our audience?
So like SP's saying, each week we try to highlight one specific show on the network. And this week I want to talk to you guys about episode 36 of the show called In Defense Of. This week's episode is called Between the Panels. Joined by Jeremy Raddick and Danica LeBlanc, we discuss the role of comic books in social relevance. Could be a very interesting topic, especially in today's politically charged climate. So go check out In Defense Of over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And I will say that Keir Hansen, who is the primary host on that show, does an amazing job of putting that show together.
Very, very true. So as we're starting to wrap things up, a big thank you to anyone who did watch live or participate in the chat room. Also to anyone who downloads the episode, watches any of the replays on YouTube, Diamond Club TV, or any of our places. Don't forget, you can find those shows there. Head on over to GunnaGeek.com. Click on the Starting Tribune button. You'll find links to where all of our stuff is.
And if you've enjoyed our show live, please tell other listeners they can join us live right now, Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Stay tuned. That time period, as we talked about last time, will be changing. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your local podcatcher like iTunes. And I just want to say thank you to all the fans of the show that were here live, that download the show, and the production team behind the scenes, which does include our front man, Chris.
You can find all of our contact information on the Gunna Geek Network at GunnaGeekNetwork.com, where you can check out our forums and other shows. If you want to share your thoughts, head on over to our Facebook page, send in a tweet, or you can call us at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. Great episode, guys. That wraps it up for another week. Any last words before we sign off? At Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag Oliver's baby mama.
At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag we want more Slade.
And I am at Michelle Ely, signing off with hashtag Single Dads Season 6. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.